Hello. We are excited that you have decided to join us today via our podcast. There are other ways you can join. You can watch us live on Facebook, YouTube, and Roku under the Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries or on our website at www.mtdm.org. You can also join us in the sanctuary at 401 North Wright Street, Burgaw, North Carolina, 28425. Every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you'd like to give a donation, you can go to our website and click the donation button at www.mtdm.org.
For giving your people itching ears to hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church on today. I bind every attack and every assignment that the enemy was sent out against us today. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that has already covered us. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that have already healed us and delivered us and prospered us. I thank you, God, for everything that you have done, God. I thank you for blessing us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I thank you and I praise you, God. And I thank you through this teaching on today, you shall get the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, turn with me back to Matthew 24, 36 through 44. Matthew 24, 36 through 44. This is a message that I taught, or I didn't finish it at the funeral, but God allowed me to give just enough to know where he was coming from. So we have to understand that when we go places and people are saying, I need for you to do this. We want to honor them in what they're saying. And the Holy Spirit will work with that. He'll give you just enough to open up the hearts of the people so they'll know that God loves them. Amen. So go back with me to Matthew 24, 36 through 44, and let's finish it all. Amen. The word of God reads, but of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage unto the day that Noah entered the ark. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You may be seated. I want to talk about, are you ready? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? The Lord had given me four categories of people. And we're going to talk about those categories of people again today. He gave me a category which is not ready. He gave me a category getting ready. He gave me another category, ready but not ready. Then he gave me a category, ready. I want you to open up your hearts today and see which category you fit into. The not ready, when we go back and look at the not ready, we go back to Genesis and how all of that played out. Y'all know that God created things the way he wanted them to be. We know that Adam and Eve was disobedient to God and sin came into the world. So when sin came into the world, sickness came into the world. Poverty came into the world. Everything that represents sin came into the world. So they got so used to sin, they didn't recognize sin for what it was. Sin represents death. We're living in a world today that people are just living and think they're living, but they're actually spiritually dead. So when you look at the book of Genesis and you go into chapter 6, it was so bad, it says in 6:5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that's male and female, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That means everything they thought about was evil. That's all they thought. That's all they did was evil. They thought that was normal. We're living in a world today that people are doing things that they think are normal. And I'm just going to give you a list of things that people are doing that they think is normal. These are the ones that are not ready because they think they're okay because they're living a normal life. They're shacking up, not normal. Fornicating, not normal. Adultery, not normal. Lying and stealing and cheating, not normal. Come on. Dressing any kind of way, not normal. There's a spirit of perversion in the land, not normal. People done got so used to showing off their bodies with low cleavage and doing things to entice people, to draw them to lust in the land, not normal. You're living in a world that people are saying normal, that's not normal. People disrespecting their parents, people killing their parents, killing each other, not normal. That's not the way God intended for it to be, but people are saying, you're okay, you're not okay, that's not normal. That's not the way that God intended for it to be. This world is in a mess. It's been in a mess, and it's getting to be a worse mess because people are thinking man and man is normal and woman is normal, but it's not normal. That's not God's way of being, and that's not God's way of doing. There's a male bathroom, and there's a woman bathroom. It is not normal. And you're going for it. People are saying, don't say nothing about that. You better say something about that because there is a hell. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And God didn't create the hell for us. Right. It's not normal. Uh-huh. Me and my husband, we went somewhere to eat. And when we went we normally stop when we go see our daughter. So we went to eat and we stopped at this place, this establishment. I ain't going to call the name because y'all probably know it well. So we sitting there eating and waiting on our food. The guy had forgot something that we needed. So all of a sudden, they locked the door. So I said, oh, I thought they don't lock the door because they stay open, you know, 24/7. So as they locked the door, there's a man at the door wanting to come in. So the other guy let him in. When he got to the counter to place his order, the supervisor for that night came out and he said, don't serve him. You get out of here. Don't serve him. Oh, cuss words went back and forth. Y'all, they was cussing up a storm. I mean, it was like playing ping pong. Back and forth, back and forth. So I'm sitting there and my husband at the table, y'all, here he is. I need my syrup. He need to get me my syrup. I said, you asking for syrup? And the man is cussing him out, telling all the manager now. He cussing the man out. My husband got his hand up. I need some syrup. I said, if you want some syrup, you go over there and get your own syrup. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm getting out of here. And he told me, I ain't going nowhere until I eat my waffle. I say, the devil is a lie. I told that. I said, come here. Pack it up. Then I found out. They considered this to be normal. Because my son informed me and my daughter-in-law informed me. They say, oh, that's what they always do. You just don't go there on weekends? Is that what you're saying? You don't go. I said, what? They said, that's normal. It ain't normal for me. This world is up. The reason why it's upside down is it comes through Adam. And it's playing itself out. And you're seeing what's going on, but some of y'all are participating. And what's going on that ain't right. He said it was wickedness in the earth. Every intent, every thought of their heart was wicked. Come on, we living in a world that's wicked. And then he showed me in 2 Peter 2:5, do not think that even in this wicked world, God does not have people preaching righteousness. Because in 2 Peter 2:5, it talks about Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Even though they would not listen, he still gave the message to give them an opportunity. So when the door got shut, it's not because they weren't invited to come in. They had a choice between life and death, and they chose death. People in this world that hear the message still think they okay, and they're choosing death, even some people that say they're born again. They're choosing death. So those are the ones that are not ready. Why are they not ready? Because they think their way of living is okay. They think this is how it's supposed to be. I can hang out. I can party. Remember they say in the days of Noah, they were eating. They were drinking. They were marrying. They were giving away in marriage. They was doing all kind of stuff. And they were saying they were okay until that flood came. God give all of us an opportunity. And I am so tired of the stuff that's going on. And I can look at the world how it is. But Christians, somebody got to tell them. And people said, I've been telling them, but I beg you to differ. Some of you tell people what you want to tell them, but you ain't telling them the whole gospel. You telling them just enough, but you don't want to tell them everything because you don't want to offend them. You don't want to make them mad with you. Whose side are you on? So even though Noah preached to them, they had a choice, but they didn't take it. They rather die in their mess than live a righteous life. Then the next category of people are the ones that's getting ready. And that goes back to Genesis 3:7. Do you remember that when Adam and Eve found out they were naked and they were ashamed? They were trying to get themselves ready to be right. So they covered themselves. They was trying to cover up their sin. They didn't realize that they could not save themselves. We got a lot of people that's trying to do things on their own, thinking that that's going to get them in. They're trying to say, I'm going to quit doing this or I'm going to quit doing that. And when I quit doing this and quit doing that, I'm all right. You cannot save yourself. He said, there's none good. There's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understand. Do not let people tell you that you got to clean yourself up before you accept it. You might as well die in your sin because you cannot clean yourself up. We go back to Luke 18:9-12. And this was dealing with the Pharisee and the tax collector. See, this Pharisee was so self-righteous, he put more trust in himself to be righteous than he was putting his trust in God. He began to say the things that he had done or he didn't do. He even said he was not like that tax collector. He went on to say, I don't commit adultery. I'm not an idolater. I pay my tithes. He was based in his way in to the kingdom of God based upon him, based upon what he does. Your good works is not going to get you in the kingdom of God. Your good works is not going to do it. Some people say, well, you know, I don't do like everybody else do. I don't club. I'm respectful. I was taught when growing up that I respect my elders. I go to the nursing home and I talk to people. I go to the prisons. I go to people's houses. I help clean up houses. That don't get you into the kingdom. I remember when I was growing up, I had an aunt, and she would always minister to me, and she would always tell me, she said, "You're a good girl. Why don't you accept Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior?" See, I may look good on the outside. I may act in a certain way on the outside, but on the inside, I was dead. There was no life there. But I didn't live a life like everybody else lived. I didn't go to the club, didn't know how to cuss, didn't know how to do none of the stuff, but I was still a sinner. Just because I didn't look like somebody else don't mean that I was better off than they were. Oh, I'm going somewhere. Just because a wino give you a drink and a saved person don't, if that wino heart ain't right, he's still a sinner. Let's get it right. Don't twist it. This world is so twisted. We base stuff on how a person, what a person do, but if their heart is not right before God, they're not right. Oh, I'm going to say it again because I feel it in the room. Some of y'all are telling people, oh, you don't do nothing wrong, just pray. No, you need to give them the good news concerning the kingdom. You need to tell them what Jesus done for them. Quit trying to tell them to do something, to get something, because that's not how it works. So that Pharisee, he thought he had it going on. I don't commit adultery. I pay my tithes. But you ain't right. So your good works, whatever you do, that's not going to get you into the kingdom. Then there's another set, a category. Ready, but not ready. These are the ones that said they have accepted Jesus. These are the ones that say that they're born again. When you look in the scripture, we go back to the versions in Matthew 25, verse 1 through verse 3. It said, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." Those lamps represent their lives. They went to meet the bridegroom. It said, "Now 5 of them was wise and 5 was foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." Now, when I say ready but not ready, I'm going to talk about the foolish virgins. They took lamps, but they didn't have no oil to go in those lamps. See, you may be amongst the born again, and you may be acting like you live in a life that's right. But if the Holy Spirit, which is that oil, have, if you're not born again, the Holy Spirit is that oil, and that's when things begin to change. So they were foolish because they had a lamp. They looked like they were okay. Come on, we're amongst some people that look like they're born again. But they ain't. Oh, we're going to stay here. We got some that look like they're born again and they're hanging with you. I'm going to say it again. We got some that look like they're born again and hanging with you. Then he showed me something else. Y'all remember David, when God sent Samuel to anoint him as king? He had to go through David's brothers. When Samuel saw Eliab, it was Eliab, he looked at him and he said, "Surely this is God's anointed." Because he looked the part. Oh, look around in the room and say, "You look the part." Look around again and say, "You look the part." Let's see. Y'all, I ain't playing. It's too many people dying before their time. It's too many people that nobody has told them about the good news, the gospel of the kingdom. And you run around them. And nobody's saying nothing because you don't want to lose a friend. So we see. He thought it was Eliab because he looked anointed. He looked appointed. He looked like a king. He looked like the one that God has chosen to be king. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Y'all see people prophesying. Y'all see people laying hands. Y'all see people falling out. And surely y'all say that's a prophet. Because they look the part. And then you follow them. Because you think that's the one that can save you. That's why we follow people. Because we think those are the ones that can help us. Those are the ones. So he looked the part. But then this is what God said. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We got people playing the part, and they're in church. Let me tell you how you can drive them a draw. Let me tell you how the Lord used me to drive them a draw. When you teach truth, and you don't stray away from truth, the ones that are not true, they're going to leave. They're going to leave. You don't have to tell them to get out. They're going to leave, and they're going to make you look like you put them out. So this is what the Lord was showing me. You can't look at appearance. Some people look at how nice a person dress with their collar on, saying, I'm anointed. I'm a man and a woman of the cloth. Sweating in the long robes. Everybody see them with the long robes on, and they know how to say God, and they know how to stir you up. Surely that's a man and a woman of the cloth. Oh, they know the word from the front to the back, from the back to the front. They know how to call them. We're going to choose that one. See, that's why they have elections in the church. They choose by how you can hype the people up. The more the people holler, that's the one we want. But that ain't the one God has chosen. Then God began to show me this. Men, don't get offended. Some of you pump iron to get those muscles. And some women like those muscles. But that don't make you a man. I'm going to say it again. Your muscles don't make you a man. What's on the inside is what's going to make you a man. When your heart is right with God, even if you look like a beanpole and you're loving your wife the way Christ loved the church. Oh, come on, somebody. You ain't worrying about no muscle. A man that's going after muscle and not going after God ain't no man. And you women, some of you want to get a figure like that dummy in the store. Some of you been trying to quit eating just to get that shape to mold you the way you need to be molded. And you think that's going to make you a woman, but that don't make you a woman. Oh, I'm going to keep talking. Because some of us are using things to determine our manhood and our womanhood. But if your heart ain't right before God, you ain't going to be the woman or man that you need to be for nobody. Because we always pointing fingers. Look at what my husband didn't do. Look at what my wife didn't do. But if you're in the word of God and know what the word is telling you, you can be a godly husband and a godly wife the way God wants you to be. Always pointing fingers. He who have not sinned, let him cast the first stone. Then God gave me this. We're talking about ready, but not ready. In Matthew 13, 24 through 30, another parable he put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Remember, it's good seed he sowed in his field. Good seed. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. We got some tares in the church. The tares are the unsaved that's hanging with the wheat, which is the saved, ready but not ready. They're playing the part, but they ain't ready. So this is what he said. He said, but when the grain has sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appear. See, those tares, those unsaved folk, they're not bringing forth fruit. But they're amongst the wheat. So those wheat, the wheat is amongst like weeds. Y'all know how you plant something and then you look and then there's some ungodly stuff sitting there and what you planted. You said, that ain't what I planted. Where you come from? It looked y'all pretty. Have y'all ever planted something and beside it, it's the beautifulest flower or something and it looked like it could be something you can use. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you. I was looking in my yard the other day and I said, dang, when do we plant that? That's pretty. I said, it's got little purple stuff on it. I said, maybe if I take it out the ground and section it everywhere, it'll be more prettier. Oh, the Holy Spirit start moving. What looks good ain't always good. That right there don't go with what you got planted. Oh, I'm going to say it again. What looks good ain't always good. Just because it got some pretty leaves on it and it's growing with what you planted, that don't mean you keep it. The devil comes as an angel of light. And somebody help me say this. He's in the church. He's in the church. Then it says, so listen at this. So the servant of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? I'm going to give y'all an example. That front row there, I don't know who was with me that day. It was years ago. Normally we would stay after church and we would have another service. Y'all, it would be so good. And as I sat there, it was just like the disciples right around me. All of a sudden, the Lord said, you're going to have one to betray you. And I told him, I said, one of y'all going to betray me. Not me, Pastor. I ain't going to say who it was, but it came. It was some tares that was amongst the wheat. But this is what God said. He said to him, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. He said, let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. What is God saying with this parable? We got people in the church that say they're ready, but they're not ready. We got unsaved folk that said that they have confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, and they say that they're saved. But actually, deep down in their heart, they're saying it with their lips, but their heart is far from it. So they're saying they're okay, and they're right amongst the saints. And the sad part is, the saints don't recognize them. And the reason why the saints don't recognize them, because when they join with them, they end up turning from what they know into doing what they're doing, and they're telling them it's all right. Somebody say the devil is a lie. When we look at the ready but not ready, you can look all on television and all around where you're seeing these men and women of God supposed to be caught up in things that they don't supposed to be caught up with. Now what's hidden is being revealed, but God forewarned every last one of y'all. He told y'all it's exposing time. What you think ain't and what you think is ain't, and God is going to expose it. And he's exposing big name people, and they can't get out of it now. He's exposing the ones that's using people to get gain. Anytime you go to a church and all they talk about is, I need 1,300 people to come in here next time and bring $100 or above, that is covetousness, that is greed, and you feeding them. That's not how God works. Or if you send me this amount of money, I'll give you miracle water. I got news for you. You got some miracle water on the inside of you. And if you taught right, that miracle water will begin to flow out of you, and it will go in all directions that it needs to go. Somebody's been lying to you. You've been giving in the wrong places. So ready, but not ready. You got the ones coming to church saying, Lord, Lord, but don't know him. Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Lord, Lord, did I not cast out devils in your name? But he shut the door because he said, I know you not. You work in lawlessness. You in iniquity. We got church folks coming to church diligently, but it's in lawlessness and iniquity because your heart ain't right. You still out partying hardy. You still doing things to satisfy husband, wife, and children. You come in the church and you play the part, but when you leave the church, you hanging with the wrong people. Who's going to tell them? Who's going to tell them? How can you tell them something? You live in the same way they're living. You allowing cussing in your house. You allowing ungodly acts in your house. You're laughing and cutting the food with them and say, give me a little drink. Even Jesus drunk wine. You have parties. You can't do it, you know, with Christian stuff. You say, we got to get lit. Is that what you call it? Lit, light, whatever you call it. We got to what? Help me. Turn out, turn up. See, they got all them terms. If we don't do it, nobody going to come. So we got to have this, that, and that. Let me use another term, the third. You trying to live according to the world because you want people to look up to you. That ain't God. That's not God. Ready, but not ready. I'm going to get to the ready. I'm going to get to the ready. But I want to stay on ready, but not ready, because we got a lot of them that's on a wide road, and they think they're ready for the coming of the Lord. And they're doing all kind of ungodly acts. Actually, I saw a preacher that was on live television telling his congregation, wives supposed to bow down to their husbands, and while they're bowing down, they need to be doing something else to them. On live television. That's what they said. And until you do that, you ain't really bowing down. That's what he said. And got a whole crowd full of people that's looking at him like he is God, that's giving him what he want. People following it. But the ones that's teaching the truth, teaching righteousness, telling you what's right, those are the ones that's hated. Those are the ones that nobody want to hear. Those are the ones that people say, you just too holy. No, I'm living my new life now that I'm in Christ. See, I'm going to go to the ready now. See, the ones that's truly ready is the ones that heard the good news, the gospel of the kingdom. The ones that when they heard it, their hearts was open. Their hearts was ready for the coming of the king. And once they accepted him, they became born again. They became born anew. They had a spiritual birth. And that birth was from heaven, from above. That means that they had a new identity. That means that therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And some of y'all may not even know what that means. This is why you got to get into a ministry that lets you know, first of all, this is who you are now that you're in Christ. That old life that you used to live, it's done away with. It has been crucified with Christ, but it left behind some habits. And the only way you can do away with those habits to live this new life is not to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, renewed, changed by the renewing of your mind. Then you're going to know what the good and the acceptable will of God is for your life. And the ones that truly have accepted him, they don't want that old life no more, because they have truly changed from within. They have a new spirit on the inside of them. They recognize something has happened, but I don't know what has happened, but I know a change have taken place. My body may look the same, but I know I've been changed, y'all. I know I've been changed. I don't want the same thing I used to want. I don't want to be going around looking for no man. I don't want to do what I used to do. It's something has happened to me that I can't explain. I don't want to hang with that friend no more that cuts the fool. I don't want to do that no more. I don't want to talk about people like I used to talk about. Y'all, when I really accepted Jesus, I never forget it. Before I accepted him, I would sit with these ladies at work. We'll sit at the table like we was at a round table. And as we sat at the table, everybody who walked in the cafeteria, look at that one. Just talked about people. Coming up with conversations that didn't make no sense. But we sat there and we just gossiped, round table. Wasn't about Jesus, because, see, I didn't know nothing about him then the way I know now. So we just gossiped and just talked about them. They could do better. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Did you hear what they done? Did you hear what happened in their house? But y'all, the day I laid down my life for Christ, when I would go into the cafeteria and we would sit there and they would begin to talk, I couldn't take it no more. I was so grieved. It depressed me. And I said, Lord, I don't want to be in this room with them no more. I only had 30 minutes, y'all. And God connected me with this woman. And I would call her and say, what you doing for lunch? I would take my 30 minutes and get out of the hospital and go sit with someone that knew the same God I knew. And then when I changed, the same people that sat with me, that talked with me, didn't want to be around me no more. I was the bad guy in the office. Nobody want, oh, you ain't got there yet. Thank you. Because when your life change, you're going to have some glory coming out of you. You don't even have to say nothing. They're going to know you changed. It's something different about you. You don't even look the same no more. They don't want to be your friend no more. So they start leaving me out. And then as they start leaving me out, I found out I had some rejection in me. Oh, y'all better hear me. And God had to deal with the rejection. See, some of this stuff that's being taught, some people don't want to grab hold to it because it's you. Now that you have accepted Jesus and your life have changed, your family don't even want to invite you to their houses no more. They don't want to invite you to their cookouts no more. They don't know your name no more. Because they know what you're teaching is truth and they're not ready. They're part of the ready but not ready. They want to say Lord, they want to say they pray, but in their houses is full of lawlessness. So they don't want you to come to their house. You may have two rooms that's vacant and somebody needs somewhere to stay. They'll sleep outside before they come to your house. Because they don't like what you say. And sometimes you don't have to say nothing. They just don't want to be around you. I found out a long time ago. And I remember, and I heard how Grenetta was singing this song, if I don't have a friend in this world, he knew he had Jesus. So, y'all, I'm telling you the truth. I have grown up in grace to the point it don't matter. I told my husband a long time ago, I said, are you ready for this ministry? Because the life I live, it's going to speak for me. Nobody don't have to preach my funeral because it should preach itself. So this is what should happen to you when you are gone. Nobody should have to preach on what you did or how you did it, because your life is going to speak. That new life you have in Christ is going to speak for you. You ain't speaking to no dead body. You're speaking to the living and not the dead. We want to put people somewhere because we don't know where they're at. And you don't know where they're at because you ain't giving them the good news. Who's going to tell them? See, when somebody died, the first question people ask, well, were they saved? And then if nobody don't give you an answer, I know they're in heaven with the angels. And if you want to go where they go to meet them, you need to get it right. We got some foolishness in the church. So, you got to be taught about your new identity. Because guess what? People that really get saved, that's really ready for the coming of the Lord, and they're not getting taught, they're still questioning God and saying, God, I know I accepted you, but why am I still drawn to lust? Why am I still drawn to adultery? Why am I still drawn to fornication? Why am I still drawn to lying? Why does my flesh always want to move his head or shake his tail when I hear a certain song? Why is it that when a song come on, and it ain't about Jesus? Why is it that when I see a hunk that I call a hunk with all the muscles, I'm like, Why is it when I see a woman that is smaller than my wife, I'm like, my wife need a little like that. Why is it, Lord? I'm glad you asked. If you're asking those questions to God and you know that it's wrong, it's because a change has taken place and the Holy Spirit is in you, letting you know that ain't right. But you sit crying out to God, I don't want this. When you're truly born again, your heart is so turned to God that the Holy Spirit come in and convict you, and you're crying out and saying, Lord, I need help in this area. I can't do it by myself. That's why God give pastors after his own heart, because the pastor loves his sheep. And I don't care how old that sheep is, if I see that sheep getting ready to fall into a ditch, I'm going to take the hook and hook the neck. And I'm going to tell you what's right. And if you hate me, I don't care. That's what a pastor's supposed to do. It's tell the truth. Let them know that's not the way God intended for it to be. You've been sanctified. You've been set apart. So you're reminding them of who they are. You don't remind them of, now, you prostitute. No, you've been sanctified. You've been set apart. You've been made fit for the master's use. You've been justified just as you have never sinned. You have been redeemed. The price have already been paid for you. He said, let the redeem of the Lord say so. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You have been accepted. You have been adopted. You have been forgiven. You have been healed. Come on, somebody. You have been chosen. You are victorious. You are a royal priesthood. You are a friend of God. Come on, tell them something. You're reminding them of their new identity, their new address. You're not telling them who they used to be. You're telling them who they are. If anybody come to you and put somebody down, you need to say, have you told them about Jesus? Somebody got to tell them. We put people down more than we tell them about what God has done for them. See, when you know that you truly have been born again and you're born of God, you ain't going to want those things you used to want. And the problem is with the ones that have truly accepted Jesus, the enemy is taking you away from the word. The more you get into this word, y'all, the more I get into this word, I live that new life. Some people say, why does she always get in people's business? Why is she always coming at me like that? Because that's who I am. If I see you scraying, it's my job to pull you back in. See, I'm doing what God called me to do. Sheep supposed to be God's sheep. Sheep don't supposed to kill sheep with your mouth. Sheep supposed to uplift those sheep. Not say, nah, I wouldn't have done that, but you done something else. See, even truly accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we do fall sometimes. But when you know you truly accept him, you get back up. Because you're reminded of who you are now that you're in Christ Jesus. How can you put somebody else down when you got a skeleton in the closet? Oop, they're popping out. I just seen them popping out. Had it in there for years. And want to tell somebody else because they got caught up in something. Now you preaching to what they got caught up in and your skeleton ready to jump. Everybody in this room got something in their closet that they're still dealing with, that they're still working on, and it's called a weakness. The enemy know everybody's weakness in this room. And he used those weaknesses at a time when you distraught, at a time when tragedy come, at a time when you at your worst state, he used somebody close to you to bring out that weakness. Somebody that you thought that wouldn't say that to you. They bring out your weakness and they use it against you. This is why you have to get into the word of God, knowing who you are. Quit waiting on your husbands. Quit waiting on your husband to tell you, baby, ooh, you look beautiful. Ooh, baby, nobody can wear that like you. I told my husband if I got missing, he probably wouldn't remember what I had on. But I don't fault him for that. If he got missing, I probably would say, what that man put on this morning? I would say, it's a pair of them lawnmower pants. I don't know what color. But I know he left out of here in some lawnmower pants. Let me go see which pair missing. As Willie say, true that. But do I hold that against him? Did he hold that against me? You know what that is? Rejection. And the only way you can deal with rejection is through love. And that love is God's love. Because he said he will never reject you. He said even when your mother and father forsake you. Some people say, how is it possible for a mother and father forsake you? It's a lot of them that has forsaken their children. It's a lot of them that has given their children up for sex, for a lot of things just to get money. But this is why we have to teach people. We have to teach the kingdom. So when things happen in people's lives, what do you think going to come back to their remembrance? What was said concerning the kingdom? It's time for us, the body of Christ, to do what God has called us to do. That's the Great Commission. that's making of disciples. It's too many ministers out here that call themselves prophets, that got people following them, that's operating in the familiar spirit. People want a word from them, but they need to be going into the word and getting a word from God and being taught their new identity and going out and speaking on the kingdom of God so people can turn from wickedness unto God. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So what are these gifts for? What is the gifts of the Spirit for? So when you go out and you're ministering the good news concerning the kingdom, God stir up a gift in you to bring forth something that they told nobody. And then they're knowing there is a God. The gifts are not to be misused just to get you attention. And that's what people are doing. They're going out. Oh, I'm a prophet. Oh, I got discerning of spirits. I know what's good and what ain't good. Oh, I got this and I got that. You need to be, first of all, being discipled. You got to know your identity. People don't even know how the gifts work. People will be hollering and carrying on and somebody say, oh, they got a word. Shh. The devil got a word. Know your identity. Know who you are. Now that you're in Christ, we have to be taught so we can go out to make disciples, not converts. Somebody just missing hell. We make, go in the word of God. Jesus was making disciples, and then those disciples were making disciples. That's what we're supposed to do. And you got people now that don't even want to come to church. Don't even want to come to Bible study because they figure, I know everything. Then when somebody try to tell you something, you get offended and you leave the church. Because other churches may accept that, but not up in here. Either you're going to be who you need to be for Jesus or you're not. Because when you lay down your life for him, whatever God would have for you to do, you say, here I am, God. You don't get offended because you're not chosen to do that task. Maybe that's not your task. Maybe you haven't grew up enough in that area to clean the toilet. I beg you to differ, boss. Anybody can clean. Not everybody. The ones that be clean. Look at that mess. What kind of mess is this? And then they start cussing at the toilet. God got you cleaning that toilet because he want to get some mess out of you. So every time you see that mess coming out of you. And then you realize, oh, Lord, I was a mess too. Come on, somebody. May not be for you to clean the toilet, but God has got you, your house did itself, cleaning that toilet because he's bringing you down with humility. Why can't I get up there and be a teacher? Everybody up there teaching and can't even teach. That's why you ain't teaching. You ain't learned nothing. You still got an attitude. You still talking about people outside the church. You still going telling other pastors what I should or could or would have done. Oop, that is. God showed me something. I'm going to share this with you guys. And I'm going to close. When you're faithful over what God has given you, when you're faithful over little, God will make you ruler over much. Let me give y'all a nugget. It ain't about counting heads. Because God's going to place in the body of Christ whom he need to place in the body of Christ. And God is going to remove out of the body of Christ whom he need to remove. So look around. Look at the faces. Okay? Because you might not see some of them you're looking at. And then you look around, you see a new face. God is doing what he need to do. It ain't about me. See, I never count heads. Because God always told me this ministry is going to be a lighthouse. And God is going to send people into this ministry to get what they need from this ministry. To build them up the way they need to be built up. And if God want them planted here, they will be planted here. But I don't want nobody in here that God don't want in here because I don't want to deal with it. And telling y'all all on social media, Quit counting hands to get the money, because the ones you looking at that's dressing good ain't got nothing. You trying to make them a prophet? You trying to ordain them early because they dressing the part, but they ain't who they say they are. And you wondering why they ain't paying what they need to be paying. Is that all they gave today? Because you chose them. You people are ordaining people and putting them in position just to put them in the church to say, look how many people we have in the church. People are leaving the church because they want position. So they're going in a church and operating out of familiar spirits. And they're thinking, oh, that's the one God said he was going to bring in the church. The devil is a lie. That's why I watch as well as pray. Nope. Do y'all wonder why I don't just put anybody on this pulpit? You can find guest speakers everywhere. But if God put a stop sign, you stop. Because people that are not where they need to be right here in this church, when somebody come up in here and give you a word, you following them all the way to Africa. Because they gave you a word. Oh, how can I get in contact with you? What's your number? I ain't never heard that word before. Devil is a lie. You just let it bypass you. I learned when I get into the word, that's what sustains me. If nobody never give me nothing, I have enough spiritual food to keep me. If nobody never called me, I got enough spiritual food not to be rejected because I didn't get a call. But it is good to check on folk. But if people don't check on you, don't get offended. Because it might not be for them nosy folk to check on you. Have you ever thought about it like that? Because if your emotions is high, you're going to tell all of your business to a snake in the grass because, oh, you the only one that called me. I've been going through for so long. My toes been hurting, my back been hurting, my butt been hurting. Everything been hurting on me. You, God must have sent you to pray for me today. Then you find out there was a snake in the grass. They go in the church, say their butt even hurt. Keep on letting them people call your house and you giving them all your business because you emotionalized instead of being in the spirit on the Lord's day. I know when people want to be nosy. Keep your nosiness at your house. Y'all better get in the spirit and stay out the flesh. But back to what the Lord showed me. The Lord showed me this dream. And see, when the Lord is taking you to a place, he'll show you the place he's taking you. I went to this church. He showed me the church. And when I went to this church, I saw one of our members in the church ushering. I said, oh, hey. They said they've been in here a long time ushering for us. I said, oh, okay. I wasn't mad. But they were shocked to see me. So as I was in there and I left out of the church and I was walking down the sidewalk, all of a sudden I'm hearing two ladies talking about me. And it was just like I had them right there in front of me. And I'm hearing every word that they were saying. And I mean, it was loud. And I stopped and I said, God, God was letting me hear everything they were saying. So I picked up the phone and I had called this person. And the person that I called, they were in the room with them. I said, I want you to tell them. I hear their conversation, and I told them to tell them everything that I heard. So I hung up with that person. And then God allowed me to hear that person telling them what I said. But guess what? That person twisted everything that I said. So I'm warning you. I hear well in the spirit. And I'm going to love you the same. Because some things you don't understand. Because you're not where I am. You don't understand the direction that God is taking me in. I may ask you to do something simple and that may not be for you to do. in your eyes. But it may be something that God is having me to tell you to do to show you where you are. Be careful. Be careful who you put your mouth on. Because whoever's really carrying God's word, God said, vengeance is mine. I shall repay, says the Lord. The thing that all of us need to do is be ready. Be ready for the coming of the Lord. And this was talking about the rapture. Because the rapture is coming in a day and in an hour that no man know. No one know it but the Father. And when Jesus come and he's up in the air and that trumpet blow, the only ones that's going to hear that trumpet is the ones that's ready. And when we're in church, if you're not ready, that's the wheat and the tares. The wheat is going to be taken up. The tares is going to be left behind. The only thing you see from the wheat is the clothes. Don't say you wasn't told. Some of us may not be here for the rapture. And if you're not here, make sure you die in Christ. Because the dead is going to rise first. And then we're going to meet our loved ones in the air. There's going to be no more marriage in heaven. There's going to be no more baby making. Because you're going to be up there for 7 years where there's going to be a tribulation down here. And that tribulation, this is what Matthew 24 is talking about. It's talking about the rapture first, and then it's going into the tribulation. That's why it said those who endure to the end is going to be saved. That's in the midst of the tribulation. Read the Bible. Get revelation. We're going to be up there at the table. That's why St. John 14 says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He said, and in my Father's house, he said, there's many mansions, many dwellings. And where I am, you're going to be there also. So let not your heart be troubled. He said, because I'm going to prepare a place for you. See, we preach this at funerals, but you got to let people know what's being said. You don't want to get left behind. You don't want to be in the category of not ready, getting ready, ready but not ready. But you want to be ready. And the ones that's ready, they got their heart sold out, is the ones that when they have a grudge, they come to you and they apologize. The ones that have unforgiveness, they come to you and they don't hold unforgiveness. The ones that have anger, they want to get, oh, come on, somebody. Them the ready ones. The ready ones are so much in their word, you don't have to keep going to them and say, deal with that. You got this going on. You need to deal with that. The ones that's ready but not ready are the ones that thinking nothing wrong with them. Your spirit is what got born again. Your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, it got some garbage in there. It got some perverseness. It got some lust. It got some greed. It got some covetousness. It got some offense. It got some rejection. It got some control. It got some stubbornness. It got some rebellion. It got some stuff that got left that you got to dig up with the word of God and its strongholds. And I do see them. That's my anointing to root them up. And that's why people don't like me. Some people say, well, you shouldn't have said, don't tell me what I should not have said. Don't tell me to shut up. Don't tell me I don't know. I'm going to let you think I don't know. I may not say nothing, but somebody say, she know. Because God knows. And if I'm in the spirit with God, I know what you're saying. I know what you're thinking. Because God ain't going to let people fool you. Not when your heart is right before God. God knows. And as long as I stay before him, he's going to show me what ain't right and what need to be right. So when you think you know, that's when you don't know. When you think you have figured me out, you haven't. When you think I'm out trying to get your money, you don't know. Because nobody can pay me what God got invested in me. And that's how you should see it. Nobody should be able to give you what God has got invested in you. When he would send me out, people say, how much I owe you? I say, no disrespect, but you cannot give me what God got invested in me. Well, how much do I give you? I say, give me what you want. I didn't come to get your money. See, I'm the type of person, I don't ask for money to bury you, to marry you, to do none of that. You give from your heart. So I'm telling y'all now, no, I'm asking you, are you ready? Because when you're truly ready, you separating yourself. Be ye separate. Come out from amongst them. You know what I learned, y'all? I'm going to tell you how you know that you really where you need to be with Jesus. If you don't drink, if you don't cuss, if you don't smoke because that's who you are, and people know that's your lifestyle, and they come up on you, people that know this about you, and they smoking in front of you, and they cussing in front of you, they ain't disrespecting you, they're disrespecting the God that's in you. So that means you need to go back home and say, God, what is it that I done or said to make them think they can come at me like that? Have you ever thought about that? Because I have. But you got some that don't care if your Holy Ghost filled, nothing. They will do that. But then when you start ministering the love of God and telling them about Jesus, they don't come at you like that no more. They respect you. I had somebody that cussed like a sailor. That couldn't help it. And then every cuss word, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And they go back and do it again. Oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. Well, at least you know you're sorry. God can deal with that. But at least you showing respect. People don't even honor parents no more. Don't even honor older people no more. Cuss people out in front of older people. Tell older people, shut up and go over there and sit down. No respect. The world is upside down. But guess what? We can turn it around through the good news to let people know how it's supposed to be by us living that life for Christ. You can't make people change, but you can live that life to show people the change. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't care how mad my children get at me, my grandchildren. I told my husband, I'm a loner. And if I have to be a loner, it's okay with me. Go on about your business, because God has just been showing me, people close to me just dogging me out. Does it hurt? Yes, but God has mended my broken heart, and he has binded up all of my wounds. Y'all, I don't have to go nowhere. People already know me. That's why they don't invite me to come. Because they don't want change. Anybody that don't want change is not going to invite you in their house. So it's okay with me. Because I have to keep doing what God has called me to do. Now ask your neighbor, are you ready? Are you truly ready? Say, are you not ready? Are you getting ready? Are you ready, but not ready? Are you ready? Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? And all the...
Thanks for watching Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. You can join us each week on Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern for church service and on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern for Bible study. For upcoming events, teachings, and ways to contact us and more, you can visit us on the web at www.mtdm.org. You can also give a donation by clicking the donation tab. God bless you, and we will see you next week.